It's very easy to get caught up in the busyness of life. We're done with one thing, we move on to the other. That rat race, as it's called, consumes us. And we're so busy dealing with our problems, with work, with family, personal issues, with family issues far away from here or at home, that we often don't realize what's going on in the lives of the people we live with. We're so lost in our own thoughts, our own problems, our own worries, our own concerns, that we don't even realize what's going on with the people in our own home. That busyness of getting one thing done and moving on to the other can cause us to miss out on a lot. Not just the lives of those we love, but the life of Him who loves us more than anything else. In today's gospel, Jesus sends the apostles along ahead of Him. But I wonder, they should have probably realized what was going on with Jesus in that moment and said, "No, Lord, let us stay with You and pray." Why? Because in Matthew chapter 14, a few verses before, Jesus finds out that His first cousin that He grew up with, that they spent their childhood together, that must have been one of His best friends, if not His best friend from His childhood, John the Baptist, had just been captured and decapitated by Herod. Jesus learns about the death of His best friend, His first cousin. This great man, whom He says no greater man has been born of a woman than John the Baptist. And He was unjustly arrested and horrifically murdered by Herod. I can only imagine He must have been really disheartened. If He cried at the death of Lazarus, how much more must He have felt at the death of John the Baptist? Lazarus died of natural causes. John was beheaded. And in spite of this great sadness that Jesus must have felt, the crowds around Him are pressing in. They want to hear Him, and they're hungry. Jesus puts aside for a moment what He's going through because He's aware of what people around Him are feeling and suffering from as well. He's not completely lost in Himself. And so not only does He preach the gospel to them, but He feeds the 5,000. And after feeding the 5,000 and preaching the gospel, He's now sending people home. He sends the apostles on ahead of Him so that He could spend the night in prayer. I can only imagine to mourn the death of His best friend, to cry, to ask the Father, why? Why Him? Why now? Why like that? And the apostles should have realized how sad He was and how exhausted He was. But they were so caught up in going on to the next thing that they went ahead. A lot of times when we're feeling really sad or distraught or depressed, what do? We send people away or we avoid them. Leave me alone. I want to be alone right now. Don't bother me. I don't know if that was what Jesus was doing or not, but He definitely sent them ahead of Him. It says Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and precede Him to the other side. But maybe what He really needed was for the apostles to be with Him in prayer, to cry with Him, or just to accompany Him as He mourned the death of John the Baptist. Either way, they went ahead without Him, instead of staying with Him to pray. And that's when the storms came. When we move on without Jesus, when we don't spend time with Him in silence, to mourn, to laugh, to give thanks, to cry, to be angry, whatever it may be, and we move ahead, we move on, the storms will come. And we'll feel like we're drowning because we're without Him. So often we come to Mass, and as soon as Mass is over, we move on like the apostles. Next, and it's like it never happened. We're busy to do the next thing. So the apostles head out, and between 3 and 6 a.m., which is what is the fourth watch of the night, the sea starts kicking up, and the boat is filling with water, and it's as if they're going to drown. Now, these apostles are not being dramatic. Most of them are professional, lifelong fishermen. They know when they're going to drown or not. They know when the boat's going to sink or not. It's not drama, right? We can have little things going on in our lives, and it becomes this big drama, or at least it seems that way looking from the outside in. Now, the apostles were generally afraid of dying. And here comes Jesus, in spite of having been exhausted from preaching, feeding the 5,000, the multiplication of fish and loaves, in spite of mourning the death of John the Baptist, they have gone on without him, and he goes to them. He seeks them out. He seeks us out. Even when we've walked away, even when we've left Mass and gone on to the next thing and have forgotten him, he seeks us out because he knows that without him, the storms will come and we will not survive. Of course, when we're far from Jesus and we've moved on and he's no longer present in our mind and we're not with him in prayer, even God can seem like a ghost and scare us, even though he's good and loving. The apostles felt the same thing. It is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Think of all these grown fishermen screaming in horror. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Notice that Peter, to believe him, wants a miracle. He wants a great sign. Oh, if it's you, Jesus, then make me walk on the water. So often when we want God to respond or to prove he's present, we want some great manifestation. We want some huge miracle. We want something that is undeniable that God has confirmed and answered my prayer. We see that in the first reading. God wants to appear to Elijah in Horeb, the mountain. And so he tells Elijah, go outside. And what happens? There's an earthquake. There's a fire. There's rushing hurricane-like winds. And God is in none of those things, but in that tiny whispering sound. We usually want God to manifest himself like that. Show yourself, God. Right? Do a miracle for us so we can believe, the Jews told Jesus. If you're the Son of God, perform for us a miracle so that we can believe in you. The Son of Man will not perform any sign. First, you must have faith. Signs come from faith. Miracles come from belief. But for you, I will not perform and dance and be a magician. You must have faith in me, a relationship with me. And so we're often asking God for some radical sign to make his will known. But it doesn't happen that way. It's in the quiet, whispering sound that he speaks to us. And we can't hear him if we're not quiet. Prayer is about being in the presence of him who loves us. And we're just grateful. And we want to love him back. Prayer is not only petition, asking for this, asking for that, but also, more importantly, listening to him. And asking him, what do you want of me? So when we come to Mass, for example, it should be the place in the church where it's absolutely quiet so we can hear him speak to us. We come early not to have conversations in the pew. This isn't a social hall. You haven't come to a club. Talk outside. Here we talk to God. And here we listen to God. But if we're all chatting and rambling and making noise, you're not only not praying yourselves, but you're interrupting everybody else around you who's trying to listen to that whispering sound. And you won't let them because you keep making noise out of your mouth. When here is a place where we want to listen to God and hear him speak to us. Maybe we open up the readings ahead of Mass and pray with them. Or we talk to God or give him whatever's on our mind swirling about, causing us stress and anxiety or occupying our thoughts. Here, Jesus, take it all. Help me just to be completely empty to receive you in mind and heart. But we come early, and in that silence, we listen to the Lord speak to our hearts and prepare our hearts to hear him in word and sacrament during the Mass. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Speak to me, Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so the key to prayer really is about listening to the heart of Christ. How does he love us? How does he want to speak to us? In that silence of being still is when we most hear him. By keeping our eyes fixed on him, we can overcome the challenges and problems and sadness of life. Peter did that. He walked above the storm waters, literally walking on the water, only as long as he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. The moment he took his eyes off of Christ, the moment he stopped praying, the moment he ignored the presence of Jesus in his life, all he could focus on was the wind, the waves, the monsters under the sea, and he began to drown, filled with fear. Save me, Lord! When we take our eyes off of Christ, when we forget that he's with us, When we put aside a life of prayer, when we fill the church with noise of conversations rather than silent prayer and listening, we will drown spiritually. We will die the death spiritually. But if we continue to be mindful of God's loving presence in our life, especially when we're here because he's present in the Eucharist like nowhere else, body, blood, soul, and divinity, fixing our eyes on Christ, we can walk above the storms of our life, whatever those storms may look like. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter. Only because Peter kept his eyes on him. Only because Peter reached out and cried out, "Lord, save me." Only because Peter trusted him enough to walk on the waters could they come to the conclusion, "Truly, you are the Son of God." To believe that means to listen. To believe that means to pray. To believe that means to read the scriptures, to sit in silence and to know that he is God and that we are loved. Only then can we walk above the waters of life, when we hear that still, quiet, whispering voice of the Father who tells us, "I love you. And if you don't believe me, only look at my Son. I cannot love you more. Will you love him back?"